be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for every individual that came out on this snowy morning to hear your word preached. And now I pray for Pastor as he comes forward, fill him with your Holy Spirit, as he preaches your word to us this morning. Amen.
All right. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. So in Proverbs chapter number 10, if you would look at verse number 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it." So the title of my sermon this morning is Happy New Year. Turn to Genesis chapter 12. So basically, this is a sermon that's bouncing off my Wednesday sermon, right? And the question that I have for you is, how do you want this new year to go? And I think that's a good question. Do you want it to go exactly like last year? Or do you want it to go maybe just a little bit lower than last year? Or do you want it to go better? I think everybody in here would probably say, I would like it to go better. Right? And the reason why I started off this sermon with this verse here is because I'm talking about blessings. Right? This is a sermon on how to get blessings from God. You know, but before we can even do that, you need to realize what real blessings are. And you'd be surprised at how little people really understand about this subject. Because blessings aren't just riches as far as money goes and as far as materialistic goods and things like that go. That's not what we're talking about here. If you look at the verse, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." That means plenteous, right? Abundant. And then it says, "He addeth no sorrow to it." Why does he have to say he addeth no sorrow to it? Right? Because some of the things that God considers blessings, we might not consider them blessings. That's why he has to say it that way. But I mean, think about it. How do you want this year to go? Do you want to improve? Hopefully you do want to improve as a Bible-believing Christian. Hopefully you want to gain some more knowledge. Hopefully you want to win some more souls. Hopefully you want to disciple some people, right? Hopefully you all want to see this church grow, right? We all want that. Not for financial gain, but because we have a mission. We have a vision, right? I would like it one of these years to be able to send multiple people to different cities in this state during the mega marathon. Amen. Right? We can't quite do that yet. Not because of anybody's fault here, but just because we're too young. Right. Yeah. We don't have the power. We don't have the manpower for that yet. Right? But let's get working towards a goal like that. Yeah. Right. Right? Because you know what? What is some of the other big cities around here that we need to go to? Pocatello. Right? Twin Falls. Right? I think Spokane's probably got Coeur d'Alene covered, but you know what? We could go up there and help them out. Right? We need to go to Ontario. Well, there's a lot of work to be done around here. You know, just yesterday while we were out soul winning, I just found a whole new pocket of apartments and houses and things that we need to be able to reach. Yeah. Right? But we're not going to do that if we don't understand what true blessings from God are. If we're not willing and able to grow, if we're not willing to honor God with our time. Look, I'll just tell you this right now. This isn't a tithing or a time type sermon, but it is true. Do you think God's going to bless you if you don't honor him with your time? I mean, think about that. You parents, do you honor your kids? Do you give them extra blessings when they're disobedient? When they're not doing their chores? When they're not doing the things that they need to do? No, you don't. So why would God be any different? So you're there in Genesis chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So you can leave your place there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. So here we learn in the New Testament that God's preaching the gospel to all people based off this verse, because it says, "In Abraham shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And how is that so? How can that be? Well, because when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're blessed with the new man, with eternal life. That in and of itself is a blessing. So the Christian really has no reason ever to be sorrowful for an extended period of time, because you have everlasting life. Any pain or trial or tribulation that you're going through right now is only temporary. But the heathen man can't say that. The person that thinks that God's hid his word in the ground and that we don't have the Bible today, that man cannot have sorrow, because he can't trust what he's reading. Yeah. Right? But we can, because we serve a God who said, you know, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away." So The reason why I read to you Genesis chapter 12, these first three verses, is because it does a very good job at explaining how God blesses people. First of all, what does God do? He communicates, right? He communicates. He tells you, hey, this is what you need to do. And then he commands. And then he commences based off of how you respond to those commands. You're either going to get a blessing or you're going to get a cursing, right? And you say, well, is this a sermon on how to avoid chastisement? Not really. Maybe a little bit. The Bible says that God chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. So there's no getting out of it. We're all going to get chastened because that's how we grow. That's how we learn. I mean, what mother and father doesn't chasten their children, right? A foolish one at that. You know, a foolish one does, and we know that God's definitely not foolish, so he's going to chasten you. He's going to put you through some things to teach you a lesson. You ought not to let that discourage you. So, let's move on here. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 9. So he says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, right? Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So, go to 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19. So the reason why I had to read that is because, you know, it's important that we understand that we are blessed. That we are blessed. We have eternal life. We have God's word. We have the command to even bless each other. You study the Bible long enough and you'll see there is a huge emphasis placed on blessing the brethren. Did you know that? And it's kind of hard to bless the brethren when people decide, you know what, I'm going to skip out on church because I'd rather watch hockey, football, baseball, whatever it is. Right? That's selfish. Right. That's you putting your wants above other people's needs. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And when you make a habit of doing stuff like that, you're not going to get blessings. Yeah. Or very minimal. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Is that how you want this year to go? Is that how you want to start the year off? You know, there's a reason why we're doing this New Testament challenge. It's because it's supposed to put you in the mode of reading your Bible every single day. Now, look, nobody expects you, you know, to read the 9 chapters for the rest of the year, although I think you probably should.
Right.
I don't think it's that hard. I mean, I think you could easily read 10 chapters a day all year, 5 in the morning and 5 at night. I mean, if you're not writing 3 sermons a week, you have that time. Right. You may think you don't, but you do. You really do. You just need to audit yourself, audit your life, and say, what can I maybe push aside? What can I cut out so that I can do that? Right. And then you should always pray this prayer. You know, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Because that is a blessing. Did you know that? We're going to see that here in a minute. So 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll just give you the backstory on this here real quick. It's talking about Elijah the prophet. So in chapter 18 is a famous story where Elijah calls fire down from heaven. You know, basically God, you know, soaks up the offering that was wet in the sight of all the people. And you remember the Baalamites, the people that were worshiping Baal, they were there, they were calling on Baal, he didn't show up, they're cutting themselves, they're throwing their typical, you know, Baal-worshipping, satanic, heathen temper tantrum, right? And, you know, so after God, you know, consumes the offering that Elijah has the people do, the people see that and they say, okay, the Lord, he is God. And then what happens is he kills 450 prophets of Baal. You say, well, why in the world would he do that? Well, we've talked about this before. He does that because children of Satan can't be saved.
Right.
Right. Once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. Well, once you're the child of the devil, you're always a child of the devil. Now, after the children of the devil saw that God was clearly God, that he licked up that offering, did they want anything to do with God? No, they wanted to kill Elijah. Why? Because they realized they were going to lose that influence that they had over the people that hadn't made up their minds yet. Right. And so Elijah, after that, he leaves for a little while. Ahab, he goes back, he tells his wife Jezebel, you're never going to guess what Elijah did. He killed 450 prophets. So she sends messengers to Elijah and says, well, I'm going to kill you about the same time. So Elijah's like, well, I guess I better go. I guess I better leave because my life's about to end. So Elijah, what he does is he runs away, leaves the servant behind. He goes out to the wilderness. He goes and finds a juniper tree, sits under the juniper tree, falls asleep. An angel bakes him some food, sets a little bit of water next to him. And then he wakes up and, you know, God's like, hey, you need to go to Mount Horeb. You remember Mount Horeb where Moses received the commandments, right? So he's like, okay, so the Bible says he goes in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. So he gets to Mount Horeb, and that's where we're going to pick up this story here, 1 Kings chapter 19. Look at verse number 9. It says, and he, talking about Elijah, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You got to understand that, you know, Elijah just had this great victory, right, where he saw fire come down from heaven to consume the offering that they soaked in water. And now all of a sudden he's running from a woman that's angry, that said she's going to kill him. You know, where's the blessing in that? There's no blessing in fear. The Bible says that the fear of man is a snare, right? So we should never fear what man is going to do unto us. But, you know, Elijah's just like us. He's human, right? These things are written so that you can see, hey, a mighty man, a mighty warrior of God like Elijah, if he could fall, then so can you. Because there ain't nobody in here like Elijah. Right. Elijah didn't even see death. He gets taken up by a whirlwind. I mean, think about that. So verse 11, it says, And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. It means it tore the mountains. It's starting to break the rocks apart. It says, And break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So here you have it. You have Elijah. He's on the run, right? He's at Mount Horeb, where he obviously knows that's where Moses got the commandments. What happened when Moses was at Mount Horeb? There was wind, there was earthquakes, there was all sorts of stuff. Remember, God told Moses, hey, don't even let the people come near this mountain. Set bounds, lest they die, right? So he's probably thinking, all right, you know, I'm going to get these great signs, right? But the Bible's very careful to tell us here that God wasn't in the wind at this time. That doesn't mean he doesn't control the weather. You know, he has set the weather up to its own circuits, and it does what it wants, and he can choose when he wants to manipulate it or not. Right, but it says he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire. And then if you look at verse 12, it says, And after the fire, a still small voice. Look at verse 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And the reason why I brought this up is because what this is teaching us here is that God doesn't always speak. He doesn't always show blessings in an extraordinary way, right? Sometimes he does. Sometimes you're going to get this big blessing. Sometimes you're going to get this big just revelation as you're reading the Bible. Other times, you just have to listen to the still, small voice. How does that apply to us today? Well, we don't need to always look for blessings, like I said, in the extraordinary, in the big things. You know, like, oh, it's only a blessing if I get this great job that pays me 100K a year. Oh, it's only a blessing if, you know, if it's like in miracle status, right? Sometimes blessings just come in the ordinary. You know, and that still small voice, you know how you get that still small voice today? By hiding God's word in your heart, right. By memorizing it, by reading it. You can leave your place there in Kings and go to Matthew chapter 16. I'll just tell you a story here real quick. It was about probably 3 weeks ago. I was at somebody's house fixing a dryer. You know, like usual, and the guy was complaining about the price and whatever. You know, some people do that, and I get it. So I'm walking outside to get his part, you know, and he's in there, he's all mad, and he's like, just do it anyways, I don't care. Which I think is kind of weird, because the guy has like a 5-car garage and just all the stuff you can imagine. You know, he's got like 2 Lexuses in the driveway, and it's like, you're mad about $200, but whatever. So I walk outside, and on his property, almost to the sidewalk, is a $20 bill. You know, and I was looking at that $20 bill, and I thought, man, it'd be good to take this and, you know, give myself a little tip. But obviously, I heard a still small voice, you know, in my head. No, just give it to the guy because it's his property, you know. It's the flesh, the old man, but it likes to just take a little off that guy, right? But I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I grabbed the money, I'll put his part on. I said, hey, at least your bill's $20 cheaper now, you know. I found this outside. And he's like, who cares? Yeah, it's probably my stupid kid. He's always dropping stuff, you know. I'm like, man, this guy's miserable. Look, the Bible tells you that the rich have no, you know, that they're full of sorrow. You know, it's true. They're never satisfied with anything, it seems like. So I give that to him. I just don't think anything about it. I go to my next job. I give lady real bad news. Your bill is going to be $700 to fix your double wall oven, right? And she's like, oh, man, and it's Christmas. This is terrible. She's like, okay, well, I just want to think about it. I say, hey, I understand, no problem. right? She pulls out $20 and gives it to me. I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. I don't want it. And she's like, no, I really want you to take it. I don't know why, but I just feel like you should have it. I'm like, wow, okay, that's kind of weird because I just gave this other guy $20. And so I came here, it was a Wednesday. I put it in the offering plate. I go back. She decides that they want to do the repair. They give me another $20. So I'm like, man, you know, what's going on here? You know, but God rewards his people through obedience, is what I'm trying to say. But you know what? If I hadn't been studying my Bible, if I'd been backslidden, been, you know, having my conversation with the old man, I probably would have been like, I'm going to stick it to this guy and keep that $20 bill. And some of you would have done the same thing. Don't even lie. You know what I mean? This ain't a Catholic church. We confess our faults once in a while. But I just thought that was neat and that was kind of applicable. You know, there was no voice that came down from heaven and said, Joseph, you must give that $20 bill and I will bless you. It wasn't like that. It's just a simple act of obedience. And God blessed me. And I just got, I had to go back there for something else on Friday. And they tried to give me even more money. I was like, look, no more. Okay. And finally, like, she stuffed a little bit of money in my tool bag. And she's like, I'm not saying, taking no for an answer. I'm like, all right, fine. Some people are pretty cool. You know, some people are pretty nice. But who do you think put that on her heart? It was obviously God. Right. And so just remember that. Right? Listen for that still small voice that you have inside of you that comes from hiding God's word in your heart, from studying and from meditating on his precepts and his statutes. Look, they're here for a reason. It does work. How do you want your year to go? Okay? And so with all of that, I've just got a few points for you this morning. Not a super long sermon, but you're there in Matthew chapter number 16. Here's the first point. The Christian is blessed when God reveals truth to him. The Christian is blessed when God reveals truth to him. And you say, well, what in the world? How is that a blessing? Remember that still small voice that I talked about, that story in Kings? Right? If God is going to bless you, would you even really know? Do you really understand what blessings are? Because it's easy to say, look, I've got kids, you know, I'm warm, I've got clothing, I've got money, I'm blessed. But is that all that the Bible teaches about blessings, or is it deeper than that? Is there more than that? And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot more than that. Right? There's a lot more to it than that, and that's why we have to study these things. And that's why I said at the beginning, there's a lot of people out there that they don't understand this type of stuff. You know, when God reveals truth to you, that is a blessing. When you read the Bible and you get a sermon idea or you get something to help you out in soul winning, that is a blessing. And we're going to see that here in a moment. All right? Look at verse number 13, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And look at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now who's talking here? This is Jesus Christ. What did he tell Peter for his answer? He said, blessed art thou. Do you believe that? Do you see what's going on here? When God reveals truth to you, that is a blessing. When a believer gets backslidden and they get into the world, they don't get God's truths revealed to them like they would if you're studying and you're reading every single day. And you say, well, that's not really a blessing. It is a blessing according to Jesus. According to the Bible, it is. Right? So every Christian needs to make it a point to study and read and understand these precepts. Why? So that you can get truth revealed to you. This is the only way you're going to do it. When God's word makes sense, that is a blessing. But you say, no, a blessing is when my football team wins the Super Bowl. That's not a blessing. They're not paying you. They're not giving you any money. They don't even care about you. Those people wouldn't even talk to you if they were to come around. I mean, people bum rush these athletes all the time, and they just, like, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you, right? A lot of them just want to live normal lives. They don't want to be bombarded with all the paparazzi and all the fame and garbage. You think they care about you? They don't care about you, especially when they find out you're an independent fundamental Baptist, right? Because that goes against everything that they're taught in college, everything that they're taught in the world, right? But no, the Bible says the Christian is blessed when God reveals truth to them. Go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. You say, well, that's not a very extraordinary type thing. Well, no, it's not. You know? It was that still small voice that told Peter that. And that came from God. That came from him being around Jesus Christ. Right? And you need to be around Jesus Christ by reading and studying his words and doing the commandments. So number two, the Christian is blessed when the world openly rejects you. The Christian is blessed when the world openly rejects you. You say, well, that's not a blessing. That hurts. Yeah, it hurts, but the Bible says that's a blessing. You see, that's why God said in Proverbs chapter 10 that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. So you shouldn't let the rejection of your family and your friends bring you sorrow. You should leap for joy. You should rejoice. Amen. You know, when I have this happen to me all the time. You know, people will say, where, you know, just last Friday, I was at a school teacher's house, and she's like, well, where do your kids go to school? I probably teach them. I was like, you probably don't, because they're homeschooled. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, how are they going to get a diploma? How are they going to get this? How are they going to interact with people? You know, and I was like, do you really want to know? And she's like, well, yeah. And I started to tell her, well, I mean, they go to church. They see all different types of people. They get to talk to adults. They get to talk to a wide variety of age groups. You know, I mean, think about how's that for social interaction? You know, when you're stuck at the same, you know, grade for years and years and you only talk to kids your own age, you're not going to really sharpen yourselves up that much. Look, I'm a public school kid. I know that. It wasn't until after I graduated school that I learned truth and I had to basically re-educate myself. But she's like, okay, I get it. You know, I explained to her a little bit about soul winning because she asked, you know. You know, these kids learn a lot out soul winning. And that's a blessing. I mean, they get to see how the rich are, they get to see how the middle class are, they get to see how the poor are. Right? And they get to see the ghettos. They get to see all this stuff. They get to see people that are caught up in drugs. And you know what? They know that's bad. I don't want anything to do with that. And that, my friend, is a blessing. Right. That is truth being revealed to your children. And so I begin to tell her these things. She's like, "Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense." And the reason why I kind of felt comfortable telling her this stuff is because somebody told her that I was a pastor and she had mentioned it. And she's got the Bible verses on the wall and the vodka over here, you know. So obviously she's not Mormon. She's a Christian around here somewhere. And she's like, okay, well, that's pretty neat. I've never heard any of that stuff before. You know, but I just realized I'm dealing with somebody here who's not rejected by the world, who probably gets no truth revealed to her, and she's really not blessed at all. Even though she has this big house and has a lot of money, that's not being blessed. People think, oh, because I go to this mega church and, you know, we only have one service a week and, you know, oh, it's just this feel-good thing. I'm so blessed by that. You're not blessed. You're not getting anything. Right. You're getting anything from that. But, you know, but I started to talk to her about this. I was like, you know, because she's like, well, I couldn't handle homeschooling my kids. I couldn't handle doing something like that. And I was like, how do you handle 30 kids that rotate and that are disobedient, that you can't even discipline? She's like, yeah, that's a good point. You can't handle the two kids you have, but you can handle 30 other kids that have problems. You know, and I begin to explain. I was like, you remember the sorrow that Eli got? Who remembers Eli? You know, 1 Samuel, right? He was a judge. Do you remember what the Bible says about his children? They were the sons of Belial. They were devils. It says they knew not the Lord. Right? That's what it says. And you say, well, that just means that they didn't know who he was. That's ridiculous because they worked in the temple. Okay? They knew who God was. They didn't know him. They never put their trust in him. They rejected him. Right? And so the Bible says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind, more or less. You can make that connection. And they were the sons of devil. And they were a grief unto Eli. Yeah. Where did Eli go wrong? He lost his blessing because he neglected the weightier matters of the law. Right? He missed details in God's law. He decided, you know what? I'm not going to discipline my children. And by the way, the Bible says that that's a good way to bring a curse upon yourself. Yeah. Don't discipline your children. You don't teach them right from wrong. You will have sorrow. You're going to have all kinds of problems because there's going to come a point to where it's too late and you're not going to be able to ring them in, to be able to manage them. Right? So I was telling her about that, and she's like, wow, I never heard of that. You talk about Elijah? No, I'm talking about Eli. You know, it's sad today, the state that Christianity is in, where people don't even know these stories in the Bible. Yeah. They don't even know who Eli is. They don't know who Elijah was. I'll get Elijah and Elias sometimes mixed up as I'm talking, because they will start with an E. I'm just you know, too many vaccines when I was in the military, I guess. But I at least know who they are, okay? Elisha, you know, who comes after in 1 Kings 19. But anyways, I'm rambling on here. Let's move on here. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 22. It said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." So look, you go home and you tell people, "Hey, look, I just learned that salvation's a free gift. You don't have to repent of your sins for it." Amen. That's good news. Amen. You know what? And your family says, "Nope, you got to work for it. If you're really saved, you'll do the works." And even though they're not doing any of the works, they don't even know what the works are. They don't even know what chapter the word works is in the Bible, right? But they're going to tell you that, and they're going to begin to quarrel with you and fight with you, and you tell them other truths in the Bible. You know what? The Bible says, hey, you're blessed at that point. Remember, Jesus said, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword, because God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is for dividing." That's what it does. You want to get blessings, you need to learn how to use this sword and learn how to cut some people in half with it. Amen. And you'll be blessed. You're going to be hated, but you're going to be blessed. That's blessed. That's what it said. If you're really blessed right now, would you even understand that? Do you even really understand what a blessing is? Right? It does make you rich. It makes you plenteous. It's abundant. Because the more you serve God, the more you use this word, you're going to get rich. You're going to get rich in thought, in wisdom, in knowledge, and in understanding, in doctrine, in reproof, and corrections, and all that stuff is going to be abundant to you. Amen. And he adds no sorrow to it. So when you understand that, then it's like, okay, now I know how I can live that blessed life that God wants us to live. And I said, number one, the Christian's blessed when God reveals truth to him. And number two, the Christian is blessed when the world openly rejects you. Verse 22 is very clear. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Look at verse 23. "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers also unto the prophets." And I like to hammer this home because it's something that we just neglect as people. We're always focused on the here and now because this is what we can see, this is what we can taste, this is what we can feel. And it's easy to pay lip service to, "Yeah, I understand I'm going to be in eternity. Yeah, I understand all that. Yeah, there's rewards," right? But what we just often really neglect, and it shows in our actions, is the fact that you will spend more time in eternity than you ever will on this planet here. Right. And what you do, your works do follow you, the Bible says. You don't need works to get saved, but the works that you do after you get saved, they do follow you. Right? But the Bible says, hey, you can do these works now. God's not going to add sorrow unto it. It's going to bring you blessings the way that he's designed them, right? Blessings the way that he has designed them, and you're going to get blessed now and even more in the latter end. I think it's a fair trade. I think it's worth it to give up the world in exchange for an eternity with great rewards and riches that we don't even fully comprehend yet. Yeah. But look, people think, "Oh, well, I'm just going to get the same rewards as everybody." You know, that's like some commie type attitude. Yeah. It's not going to be like that. It's not. When you get to heaven, you will be able to look at somebody and clearly understand how serious they took the word of God, how much they honored God with their time, how much they honored God with their resources. And look, I'm not a Pentecostal up here today. I don't preach a lot about money, but I'm just simply saying, you know, in times of my life as a believer, when I neglected to give to the church, guess what? All my stuff would break, the bills would pop up, and it was just miserable. And it makes sense because that's taught in the Bible, yeah, right? True blessing comes from obedience. God commands, he communicates, and he commences based off of how you and I respond to his word. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm chapter 40, verse 4 says, "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." So here's another little quick tidbit on how to get blessings, is when you don't hearken to the people on TV. Yeah. I have yet to understand how a Christian who understands a little bit of truth, who would even come to this church, would say, "You know what, I'm going to go ahead and go to the movie theater and pay Walt Disney, who hates God, that organization hates Christ, I'm going to go ahead and pay them to teach my children You know what you're doing here? You're violating the Psalms. You're violating this verse where it says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. So every church that goes around and raises the pride flag and says, you know, all the fags are welcome here, you know what? They're not blessed. Because they're respecting the proud. Pride month?
Yeah.
Right? Pride month? What are they always proud? Oh, we're proud to be this way. Of course you're proud because you blaspheme God's name openly every single time you do that.
Right.
You're disgusting.
Right.
And you know what? Taking that stance, you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause the world to reject you. That's going to cause your family to turn on you.
Yep.
Right? But it's up to you whether or not you're going to let that take your joy. Remember, no one takes your joy. You willingly give it to them. And respecteth not the proud. So when the Christian says, I'm not going to respect that crap. I'm not going to respect that trash. You know what? God says you're blessed.
Amen.
That's a blessing. I'm not going to respect pedophiles.
Amen.
And guess what? The Bible says that sodomites are filled with all unrighteousness.
That's right.
So that means every single one of them is capable of being a pedophile. You say, well, I know one that's not. You don't follow them around 24 hours a day. You know, there's obviously there was a time in this country where even the police knew that, because you can go back and watch those black and white videos where the police and the FBI are saying, hey, these homosexuals, they will molest your kids. You can't trust them. You know, it talks about them being sick in the head. You know where they got that wisdom from? They got that from the Bible, because that's what it teaches. And the Bible says, hey, you want to be blessed? Reject the proud. That's what it says. And it says, nor such as turn aside to lies. So when the Bible-believing Christian says, you know what, I'm going to turn aside to Walt Disney for some truth. God says, there goes your blessing, pal. You know, I'm going to go ahead and turn aside to Jerry Seinfeld or whatever is on the radio. You know what? God says, hey, there goes your blessing, pal. How's that? But you know what? You're not going to get that still small voice in your head to tell you that if you're not reading the Bible, if you don't even believe that we have God's word today. Right? If you're just sucked up and just backslidden is all get out. You're not going to get that kind of a blessing. And that's why I said, do you really even understand what blessings are? How do you want this year to go for you, Christian? How do you want it to go? Do you want it to improve? I sure hope you do. You know what? We need to work on not turning aside to lies, turning aside to Hollywood, turning aside to the media, turning aside to all these things that all they do is destroy God's people.
Right.
And respect the proud. Luke chapter 7. You're there in Luke chapter 6. Go to Luke chapter 7. So I said, point number one, the Christian is blessed when God reveals truth to him. Point number two, the Christian is blessed when the world openly rejects you. The Bible says, hey, you're blessed. Leap for joy. That's a good thing.
Amen.
When they reject you for the right reasons. Now, if you're just being a jerk and trying to cause trouble, that's a little bit of a different story, and that's a different sermon for another day. Point number three, the Christian is blessed when they don't get offended at the truths in the Bible. I said the Christian is blessed when they don't get offended at the truths in the Bible. Look at verse number 20. Luke chapter 7, look at verse 20. It says, when the men were come unto him, they said, Hold on here. I think my printer messed up. Let me turn to Luke chapter 7 here. I got something wrong with this printer. I think we need to change the ink. Need to change the ink in this guy. Luke chapter 7, verse number 20. Let's see what the Bible says here. All right, here we go. And when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And then my printer picked back up again. So verse 21, it says, and in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. And look at what he says here in verse 23, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So here, John the Baptist, the greatest man born among women. Jesus said that about him. He was the greatest man born among women. And here he is, struggling a little bit. He's in prison. Why? For preaching the truth. Why? Because God revealed truth to him, and he used a little bit of that truth to offend Herod,
yeah.
Right? And he got locked up for it, for preaching against sin. For calling a spade, he got locked up. And he's like, hey, I thought we were you were going to spring me out of here. You know, and Jesus is like, John, do you really understand what a blessing is? See, John, at that moment in time, he didn't really understand that that's a blessing. You know, someday you and I may get locked up for what we believe and for preaching the truth in the Bible. And you have a choice in that moment to either look at it as a blessing or look at it as a cursing. You need to understand that if you ever get in that situation, the Bible says that's a blessing. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Hey, right now, John, it may not seem like it, but this is a blessing to you. People are going to read about this for thousands of years after you do this. And people are going to get comfort and be able to rejoice from these things. And you're going to bless millions and millions of people. And verse 23 says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know that one thing that we all have in common here today is that when I read Romans chapter 1, I talk about the Sodomites. And I tell you, you know, they're given up by God. They're horrible people. We don't get offended in that. You know what? Why? Because we understand, well, that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. It's clear by looking at them. Yeah. If you ever go to a protest, if they ever decide to protest this church, it will be crystal clear to you that they fulfill every single verse in the Bible. And it will be crystal clear to you why God destroyed them in Genesis chapter 19. It'll be crystal clear to you why in Jude it says that those things are an example for us today.
Right.
An example. And Jesus says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The people that get offended at the truths in the Bible, they don't really have a blessing. They're not really blessed by God.
Right.
Listen to this. Psalm 119 verse 165 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen. Yeah, that's good.
So when I see people getting offended at the truths in the Bible, I just know there's somebody who doesn't love God's law. There's somebody who maybe they think that God's law just doesn't even really exist. Maybe they think, oh, well, the first letter that Paul ever wrote, that was the only inspired thing. The first, you know, the first book that Peter wrote, you know, that was inspired. But the rest, who knows? You know, that's what a lot of Christians believe today. And you know what? That's what the college professors teach. That's what the atheists believe too. You know why I preach that sermon? Things that are different sometimes are the same. That would fit right into that. The Christian who believes that God's word today is lost, that we don't have it, he's no different than the heathen downtown that tells us that the same thing.
Right.
You see, but people that don't go soul winning, that don't preach the word of God to people, they don't get that wisdom. Right? You go knock on an atheist door that goes down to BSU, that's what he's going to tell you, but he's going to be more polite. You go knock on someone's door that goes to Life Church, you know what they're going to tell you? Well, you know, they start dialoguing with you, they start giving you a little bit of what they believe, and you start countering it with what God's word really says. You know, hey, you don't have to work for your salvation. Guess what? They get offended in that. They do. They take great offense to that. Why is that? Because they don't love God's law. And they'll say, well, when they realize that you're too smart for them, right? You know what they'll do? They'll say, oh, well, you know, only in the Greek, right? Only in the Hebrew. Well, here's the thing, pal. You don't speak Greek. And you don't speak Hebrew. So now what? Now the authority is the pastor who's telling you that. Now the authority is the man that wrote the concordance and how he interprets that.
Right.
You see, how is that any different than being a Catholic and subscribing to the Pope?
Right.
Yep. It's no different. How is that any different than being a Mormon and saying, well, whatever Russell Nelson says trumps the Book of Mormon and it trumps the Bible? I've heard it several times out here. How is that any different than being a Jehovah's Witness that says, well, whatever the Watchtower Society says, that is truth? You're no different than any one of those people. You're no different than a Catholic. Look, I used to have a pastor down in Louisiana, a Baptist guy, and he would always be trying to correct the Bible. It pissed me off. Like you wouldn't believe, always correcting the Bible. Well, this shouldn't say that here, you know. It shouldn't say stripes. It should say stripe, you know, in Isaiah when it talks about that. And he'd always be trying to correct it, you know. But one of his big pet peeves is the Catholic Church, and he's always preaching against the Catholic Church. And you know, amen, praise God for that, you know. But at the end of the day, he's really no different than a Catholic, because the Catholic doesn't believe that what we have written today is preserved.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe it has power. He believes whatever the Pope says is the final authority. And so does that pastor. He believes that whatever he, however he interprets his concordance, that is what truth is. And so therefore, now you have a congregation full of people that are following that man that are not blessed. And if you talk to these people and ask them, what does it mean to be blessed? You know what they're going to tell you? It's my car. It's my truck. It's my boat. It's the Boise, the Broncos, right? That, they will tell you that. They will tell you that. I talk to people, you know, when I know I'm going to be preaching these sermons, a lot of times I'll just try to feel random people out while I'm in their houses, and I'll ask them, you know, what are you thankful for this year? Or, you know, I'll say something like that, and they'll tell me straight up, oh, you know, a blessing, you know, is my job. Man, I got a great job, and you can, and a lot of times they'll tell me, you know, I'm sure you can tell by looking at what I have. Look, people, these rich people, they love talking about their riches, man. They just love it. And look, there ain't nothing wrong with being rich. You know, think about it. Abraham obeyed, and God added all those riches and cattle and money. He lacked nothing.
Yeah.
Right? He lacked nothing. You know what? Solomon, he definitely lacked nothing. Right? He definitely. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. So look, if you want all that stuff, I mean, that's great, but just don't make it a priority. Seek the kingdom of God first. Right? You know how you do that? You do that by reading, by meditating, by praying, by sharpening the brethren up, by soul winning.
Right?
That's seeking the kingdom of God. That's seeking to grow it and being obedient. And God says, okay, you're doing that. Now I'm going to start to raise up all of this other stuff for you. And that is blessing. That's how we get to the state of blessing. So where are we at here? All right. You go to Psalm chapter 40. Go to Psalm chapter 41. So point number three is the Christian is blessed when they don't get offended at the truths in the Bible. I said, great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And while you're turning to Psalm 41, I'll read for you a couple other verses here. So Psalm 94:12 says this, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. You know, look, if you're doing this New Testament challenge, and hopefully everybody is, you're going to read some stuff in there that smites your conscience.
Yeah.
Right? That's chastening from the Lord. Look, not all chastening is the same. And we're going to talk about this in the next few weeks because we're going to start preaching about the family, right? We're going to do a sermon on husbands and wives, on children, teens, singles, all of that stuff. And which is really why I'm also preaching this, to kind of prime your heart and your minds for that. But not all chastening is the same, right? God does, look, I don't spank my kids for every little infraction that they do, right? I save that for the bigger things. And God's the same way. Not all sin in the Bible had the same punishment. You see what I'm saying? So when you get chastened during your Bible reading, don't take that the wrong way. Oh, God's, you know, he's after me. He's trying to grow you. He's helping you out. That's what he's doing. Now listen to this. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 119:1 says this, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You say, I want to be blessed by God. Well, good. Why don't you read his word and seek him with your whole heart? Not one foot in, one foot out, right? But with your whole heart. That's what the Bible says. So let's move on here. You're there in Psalm 41. Point number four is this. The Christian is blessed when they take care of the poor. The Christian is blessed when they take care of the poor. And you say, well, see, this is why we need to go downtown and give ham sandwiches to everybody. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Because most of those people down there are physically capable of getting a job and working.
Right?
Yep. Right? But you know what? There are some of the brethren that are poor from time to time that need help. And you know what? You would get a blessing from God when you help them out. As long as you're not on Facebook bragging about it. You know, as long as you're not like on Twitter and making videos about it. Like, oh, I just want to let you guys know today that so-and-so needed a car and I gave him a car. You know, when you do stuff like that, you know, Jesus said, hey, you have your reward right now, which is your temporary glory that you get when you post that stuff on Facebook, right? So just bear with me. Psalm 41, look at verse 1. It says, a psalm of David, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Look, when you go around and you're helping people out, especially when a brother or sister, they need something and you give that to them, not only does that keep you humble, but it's pleasing to God because we're all the body of Christ, right? And we need to take care of that body. Right? And God may have given you extra so that you could help somebody else out. Right? And that's something that's lacking today in the Christian culture as well. The Bible says that in the last days, you can read about this in Matthew 24, and you should have already read this, says in the last days that iniquity shall abound and the love of many will wax cold.
Yeah.
Look, I'm in the service industry and I could see that.
Yeah.
And I struggle with customer service to begin with. And I've told you guys this, right? But I've noticed this, the love of many has waxed cold. You make one mistake to these people, and they want your life.
Yeah.
There are people out there that would want to take your soul for making one mistake if they could do it.
Mm.
I don't know what it is, but it's different this year than it was 2 years ago.
Mm.
People are getting worse. Why? Because of our leadership in this world. All they're doing is promoting iniquity at every corner.
Yeah.
iniquity, right? They're trying to force vaccinate. They're trying to take our rights. They're trying to promote these pedophiles. They're trying to make that seem normal. I mean, all this stuff, right? They're allowing iniquity to abound. And so the result is the love of many grows cold, right? And we need to understand that. And we need to not be like that at all. God's people should never be like that. And one thing that I remember from being in these liberal churches is that people were just so fake. And I'm not saying we don't have fake people here, because, you know, from time to time we do, and we've all been through it and seen it. I don't want to get off on that again. But where did the genuine type person go?
Right.
It seems like it's just hard to find them. I mean, look around. There's a reason why we don't have 10,000 people here, because the people that we do have are real and want to seek God's truths and want to seek to be blessed by Him and want to learn the hardcore things that the Bible has to offer.
Yeah, amen.
See, the person that goes to the journey, they don't care about you. They don't care about each other.
Right.
You know, you ever been to church where they'll sing maybe two songs and have everybody get up and shake hands? And like, I'm not 100% against that. But I'm saying one thing that I've noticed that promotes is that promotes like this superficial, just like, oh, I have to say hi to this person type stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I don't do that here. And we don't have a problem with fellowship, right? I mean, there's people sometimes here at 10 o'clock at night still, you know, talking. And that's great. That's the culture that we want. That's what Christ would want. You know, and by fellowshipping with people, you know, you're helping the poor. You know, being poor isn't always just lacking money or resources. A lot of times it could be anything. It could be lacking company. It could be lacking, friends, all different sorts of things. You know, wisdom, whatever it is. Help the poor. You see something who has a need or someone who has a need, and if you have the ability to fulfill that, you should fulfill that. You see somebody stumbling in their way, somebody erring in the way, you know, you should be able to go rescue that person. Say, hey, brother, what you're doing right now is not smart. It's not wise. And that's not popular today because we live in a society that says don't offend. Give everyone a trophy, right? Everybody's a winner. Well, know what? Not everybody's a winner, especially when you read the Bible. There are losers out there. And I'm trying to prevent us from becoming a loser type church.
Amen.
So number four, I said the Christian is blessed when they take care of the poor. Look at verse 2. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Now, how's that for a blessing? Because look, we have no shortage of enemies in this church. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. Go to James chapter 1. We're almost done. James chapter 1. So look, if you have the ability to help somebody out, you should. And by doing so, God's saying that is being blessed. Have you not read in the Bible where it says, you know, it's better to give than to receive? We need to have that giving type attitude. And look, I don't have anything wrong with helping somebody in need who doesn't go to this church or who's not saved, right? But I'll tell you what, I'm going to help a brother or a sister first before I go help the world, right? What good does it do? You know, all these churches, you know, they like to brag, oh, you know, we give all these shoes and ham sandwiches to these people and we send Malto meal to Africa. But you never tell them the gospel. You know, what shall profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his very own soul?
Right, yeah.
What profit does that do? Nothing. Your works are garbage, pal. They're nothing. They're not doing any good. And the reason why they aren't preaching the gospel is because they don't know the gospel.
Yeah.
They don't know the good news. Look, it's not good news. Turn from your sins and you'll be saved. Yeah, okay. The Bible says a foolish thought is sin.
Right.
Who in here has turned from all their foolish thoughts? Nobody. Nobody at all. So while you're turning to James, I'm just going to read for you one more Psalm, 106:3, which says, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. There's another one that's not popular today, judgment. But the Bible says, blessed are you when you keep judgment. The spiritual judgeth all things. All things, the Bible says. You want to know why most Christians today aren't blessed? Because they don't know how to judge. They have no idea. They don't want to tell somebody they're wrong because that might offend them.
Yeah.
And there goes your blessing. Right? Once you start removing all of these things, guess what you're left with? Materialistic riches, fame, glory, just all the stuff that's in the world. Go watch a Christian rap video. That's what they promote. Go watch a Christian rock video. That's what they promote. All of those things. Why? Because they don't have the wisdom that comes from above, which is first pure and then peaceable. And we've already talked about that. So I've got one thing that I want to leave you with. I've purposely made this sermon short just because I just want this to all sit with you. One thing. how to receive blessings from God. We've been talking about that all morning. I just want you to remember this one point here. Endure temptation. Don't cave into temptation. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse 12. You see, just give it to me. Tell me how I can be blessed. Here you go. James chapter 1, look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want you to focus on that phrase, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What happens today is people say, the heck with it, I'll just cave to that temptation. I'm just going to get that remote control out and turn on some blasphemous show, some show that's blaspheming Christ. Right? That's not enduring temptation. Yeah. All of us have temptation. As long as you are wearing this old man, as long as you have the two natures, you're always going to have to endure it. But you need a purpose in your heart. You know what? I need to endure this stuff. And it's hard. Because that old man wants to really have his conversation with you. And he's there when your alarm clock goes off in the morning. And he's there when I'm preaching against your sins and my sins. Right? That's what the Bible's teaching us here. But you know what? When you endure that temptation, the Bible says, hey, now you're going to get a blessing. Jump down to verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, don't miss this, shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed in your job? You want to be blessed as a wife? You want to be blessed as a husband? You want to be blessed as a child? You want to be blessed as a teen? Do you want to have a blessed family? Whatever your deed is, how do you get blessed? By reading this verse here. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What has the Lord commanded? What has the Lord communicated? And what is he going to commence? It's based off of how you respond to that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So no quitting, right? You look into these things and you purpose in your heart, I will not quit. I will keep going on. I'm going to endure temptation. Look, I don't get up every single day and I'm like, I'm super excited to preach, right? I want to preach on my favorite stuff all the time, man. It's hard, you know, but I've got to do it. I got to preach the whole counsel of God. Look, there's not a single person in here that probably wakes up every single Sunday and Wednesday like, yeah, you know, going to church. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes things are going on and they want to pull you away from what God wants you to do. But you know what? You got to endure that. Why? Because you'll be blessed in your deed when you do. That's the point of the sermon. How do you want this year to go? Do you want to be blessed in your deeds? Look, I know everybody in here does. Well, here's how you do it. Don't be a forgetful hearer. You hear these things, you need to apply them to your life. You need to be a doer of the work. You can't be a doer of the work if you don't know what the work is to do. And you get that from the perfect law of liberty. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Say, I want to be blessed in all that I do. You know how you're going to get that? You're not going to get that by yoking up with the world. You're going to do it by not forgetting these things. You know, the Bible, or the book of Revelation, is very clear here. There's a blessing for understanding these things and reading them. Because look, there are horrible times that are going to come upon this earth. And the better you understand those things, the less it's going to bother you. You know how distraught people are right now because Donald Trump bombed some Iranian general? Look, there's people that are just like on either side and they're just like really ramped up. That's not living a blessed life. You're going to get an ulcer worrying about that stuff. Look, you can't control it. The Bible says there's going to be wars and rumors of war. Who cares what they do? We can't stop it. But you know what? We can actually slow it down. We can. You know, it's the pulpits of America that have failed this country. I've said this before. It's not Trump's fault. It's not Bush's fault. It's not Obama's fault. It's our fault. It's the people that call themselves the men of God. They get up behind a pulpit and preach the Bible. They're the ones that failed us a long time ago. Because why? They decided, you know what? It's better just to go down the middle of the road and preach these soft messages that everybody wants to hear. And then all of a sudden, nobody knew what sin was anymore. Nobody knew the whole counsel of God anymore, and people just went out and did whatever they want. And guess what? Now we're stuck in a crooked and perverse nation.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what? So when we go out and we knock on somebody's door, you know what? That's a witness to this city. That's a witness to this nation. And you should have read that by now, too, in your Bible reading. Right? You know, soul winning is also soul warning. So we go knock out a big apartment complex, nobody gets saved. Amen. We did what we were supposed to do. Yeah. And by that, you'll be blessed in your deed. Yeah. And you know what? Jesus said, hey, this gospel must be preached to all the nations of the earth as a witness and a testimony against them. And we need to help that out. And you know what? Every soul that you win, you know, they're not going to go off and become a reprobate. They may never come to church, yeah. Right? Because you don't have to come to church to stay saved or to get saved. Yeah. A lot of them won't come to church. But you know what? They're not going to be super deceived. They're going to be able to receive God's word, right? You can change America that way. You're not going to do it at the ballot box. That does nothing. Oh, what am I going to do? Vote for the lesser of two evils? You're still voting for evil. That's still wrong. The way to do it is God's way and to do the work and not be a forgetful hearer. Go to Revelation 14 real quick. Last verse. Revelation 14. Look at verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I said this before, and I'll say it again. The works that you do, they do follow you. So don't think that, oh, you know, I went to this house or this neighborhood and everybody rejected the gospel. That work will follow you. That's why in Daniel it does say that those that turn many to righteousness will shine as the brightness of the stars forever and ever. We don't really understand what that means, but it sounds pretty good to me. And it sounds like a goal that we all need to have. Amen? So let's remember that, and let's remember how we want this year to go. We want to be blessed in our deed. You're going to do it by not being a forgetful hearer. You're going to do it by continuing to do the work that God has set out for us to do. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church. I thank you for this valley and this area that you've given us. I just pray that you would bless our church, Lord, send more laborers into your harvest, and that you would bless the fellowship after the service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.